Spiritual progress. Just as a person is not capable of correctly assessing his own true condition, so too he cannot discern whether he is in a state of spiritual ascent or descent. For although he may feel he is in a spiritual downturn, in fact, it might be the will of the Creator showing him his true state. This is in order to demonstrate that without self-indulgence, one is not capable of functioning and is immediately given to despair or even depression and anger because the person's body is not receiving enough pleasure from such a life. But in fact, this condition represents a spiritual ascent, for at that moment he is closer to the truth than before when he was happy in this world. It is said that one who increases knowledge increases sorrow. Conversely, when one feels he is experiencing spiritual ascent, it may in fact just be a misinterpreted state of self-indulgence and complacency. Only a person who already perceives the Creator and His divine providence over all creations can correctly determine the condition that he's in. Based on the above, it's not difficult to understand that the further a person advances along the path of self-improvement in his attempts to correct his egoism, and the more effort he makes in self-improvement and study, the more he grows to understand his own characteristics. With each attempt, with each passing day, with each turn, a person becomes more and more disillusioned in his own ability to achieve anything. The more one despairs in one's attempts, the greater grows one's grievance towards the Creator. An individual demands to be taken out from that black abyss, that dungeon of physical desire in which he finds himself. In this manner, events progress until, having exhausted his own potential and having done everything that is in his own power, the individual recognizes that he's unable to help himself. He must turn to the Creator, who places these obstacles in his path, in order to compel the individual to turn to him for help and to arouse in him a desire to establish a bond with him. But for this to happen, a person's pleas must come from the depths of his heart, which is not possible to achieve until a person has exhausted all possibilities and realizes that he is helpless. Only a plea coming from the depths of one's whole being, a plea that has become the person's only wish, for he has understood that only a miracle from above can save him from his greatest enemy, his own ego. Such a prayer will be answered by the Creator, who will replace the egoistic heart with a spiritual one, a heart of stone with a heart of flesh. Until the Creator rectifies an individual, the further he progresses, the worse he becomes in his own eyes and in his own regard. In truth, he was always this way, but to a certain degree, having grasped the attributes of the spiritual worlds, he begins to feel how inimical are his personal wishes to those worlds. But if, despite a feeling tired and hopeless, he regains control over his own body, and having undertaken all necessary deliberations and having come to the conclusion that there is seemingly no way out of this state, then he may, by effort of reason and with the realization of the true cause for such emotions, still force himself into a buoyant and optimistic frame of mind. This attests to his trust in the fairness of the management of the world, and in the Creator's kindness, and in his rule over the world. Then by doing so, he becomes spiritually fit to receive the light of the Creator, because he bases his entire perspective on his surroundings on his faith, elevating faith above feelings of reason. There is no moment more precious in the life of a person who is spiritually advancing than the moment that he feels that he's exhausted all of his powers, done all that he could, and still not attained what he wanted so much. For only at such an instant can he sincerely appeal to the Creator from the bottom of his heart, because he has finally become convinced that his own efforts will be of no help to him. But before a person has exhausted all of his strength looking for a way out of his condition, he is still certain that he can achieve what he wants alone. He's unable to beg for help sincerely enough. He deceives himself, since egoism overtakes his thoughts and tells him that he should intensify his efforts. Only after having seen that in the struggle against his egoism he's the weaker of the two, does he come to the realization of his own inability and insignificance. He is then ready to bow to the Creator and to implore him for help. However, until this lowly state is achieved, he cannot realize that only his prayers to the Creator can take him out of the depths of his own nature. believing in the oneness of the Creator, faith. Faith in the oneness of the Creator implies that a person sees the entire world, including himself, as a vessel in the Creator's hands, and vice versa. If a person thinks of himself to be capable of influencing events in any way, it means that he believes in the presence of many different powers in the world rather than in the will of the one Creator. Therefore, by destroying his own ego, he simply brings himself into accord with the true condition of the world, where nothing exists but the will of the Creator. But if he's not yet reached this stage of understanding, he does not have the merit to act as one who believes in the oneness of the Creator, and thus he remains idle. The only way of becoming convinced of the oneness of the Creator is through hard work on the self and through the cultivation of the appropriate aspirations in oneself. Only having achieved absolute unity with the Creator in all one's perceptions, i.e. having risen to the highest level of the worlds, can a person apprehend the oneness of the Creator. Only then can he proceed to act in accordance with an accurate view of reality. Before achieving this condition, a person must act in accordance with the level that he is on, and not the level that he imagines himself to be in his fantasies and dreams. Genuine self-improvement on this level must consist of combining confidence in his own powers at the start of the work, along with the belief that what he has achieved as a result of his own labor would have happened anyway. For the entire universe develops according to the Creator's plan and according to his idea of creation. He may say that all goes according to the Creator, but only after he has put forth his best effort. It is beyond human comprehension to understand the essence of such spiritual qualities as total altruism and love. This is for the simple reason that human beings cannot comprehend how such feelings can exist at all, as everyone seemingly requires an incentive to perform any act. Without some personal gain, people aren't prepared to extend themselves. That's why a quality such as altruism can only be imparted to a person from above, and only those who have experienced it can understand it. But if this quality is awarded to a person from heaven, why then should he try so hard to attain it? Won't his labors fail to yield any results by themselves, that is, until the Creator helps that person and consigns to him new qualities and a new nature? The fact is that he must pray from below and make a request to express his desire for the Creator to change his qualities. Only if the desire is really and truly strong will the Creator grant it. A person must put a lot of effort into making this desire strong enough for the Creator to grant it. While he is trying to accomplish this goal, he gradually comes to realize that he has neither the desire nor the ability to achieve it on his own. Then the person will have a real demand from the Creator to free him from the constraints of his old qualities and to grant that individual the new characteristic, a soul. But that cannot possibly happen without a person first making attempts to apply all his powers and abilities to change by himself. Having become convinced that this does not bring about results, only after a cry for help comes from the depths of the heart will the Creator answer him. A person can utter this cry for help to change his qualities only after he's found that neither his desires nor a single limb of his body agrees to this change of nature, such that he unconditionally hands himself over to the Creator. That is to say, as much as he is presently a slave to his nature, to the same degree he wants to be a slave to altruism. Only after realizing that there's no hope of his body ever agreeing to such a change can he appeal to the Creator for help from the bottom of his heart. Only then will the Creator accept his plea and respond to it by replacing all of his egoistic qualities by their opposite altruistic ones, so that he draws closer to the Creator. If a person begins to consider that he is obliged to work unwillingly in this world, then what else remains with him to the end of his days from all of his efforts? What's the point of his effort in this world? Then he will come to the conclusion that it is not so impossibly difficult to work at the attempt to change himself. And apart from this, a person who has achieved the change, his changed qualities, will have revealed to him great pleasures as a result of his inner efforts, since he sees what he's working for. Therefore, the efforts themselves are envisioned not as troublesome, but as bringing joy. And the greater the efforts are, the happier he is to receive them, since he immediately feels a great and everlasting reward for each of them. Even in our world, we can see how excitement and exaltation reduce the difficulty of great efforts. If you feel great respect for someone, and he is in your eyes the most exalted person in the world, then everything that you do for him, you will do with happiness because you have such an opportunity. The greatest effort will seem a pleasure. It's like someone who loves to dance or to exercise. His exertion is considered not as work, but as pleasure. For this reason, a person who feels and realizes the greatness of the Creator feels joy from the opportunity to do something pleasing for Him. Thus, what at first seemed to be slavery, in fact, turns out to be freedom full of pleasures. Therefore, if an individual's spiritual aspiration comes to him with great difficulty, and if he must make a formidable effort in order to attain the spiritual, then this should be an indication to him that the Creator is not yet great enough in his eyes and in his perception, and that his attention is drawn to goals other than that. And as long as he pursues them, he will receive no support from the Creator, and will only be moving further and further away from his goal. But even when striving toward the Creator, one will not receive his spiritual support immediately. For if a person received inspiration and joy from his effort at once, then his egoism would certainly rejoice, and he would continue to make the effort only because of the resulting pleasure. Then he would have lost the opportunity to transcend his egoistic nature and rise to pure altruism, because he would only be interested in the pleasures derived from the spiritual self-improvement, which are greater than any others.